Let's do a few psukim together. Pasuk Yud Gimel Yatzasam Yeshamecha. You went forth to save your people. Es Meshichecha, your anointed one. Okay, you went forth to save Es Amecha, Liyesha Es Meshichecha. Two different expressions. We have over here a lot of poetic repetition of Yeshua and Liyesha Amecha and Liyesha Es Meshichecha, your nation and your anointed one. Machatzta Roish Mibes Rasha, you have broken the head, you've crushed the head of the house of the evil. Arois Yisoid, you have exposed the foundation at Savar Sela up until their neck. Sela. Okay. We have over here two psukim describing Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are many different halachim, different approaches. Exactly what we're referring to. The similar thing of this that we're speaking that we're referring over here to the coming into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem here is coming into Eretz Yisrael, and he is conquering the nations of Canaan. Let's see pasuk Yud Beis in the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David reads, Titzad Aretz Ramasta Yoshva Aretz. The word Titzad means to trample. Those that live in the earth, Yotzasa, Pasuk Yud Gimel, is Me'olam Yotzasa Lehoshia Esanecha. It's your way. This is your conduct from time immemorial. You have always gone forth to save your people, Lehoshia Es Meshichecha, and to save your anointed one. The Al Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda Yomar Al Hateshua Misancheiv Melech Hashur. The Mitzvah Stavim learns that this pasuk is referring to a very specific moment in history, the time when Hashem saved Klal Yisrael from Sancheiv. We are calling here Chizkiyahu Mishichecha. This gives a lot of support to the Chazal that tell us that Chizkiyahu was meant to be the Melech HaMashiach. Every Melech is called the Meshichech, the anointed one, because a king is anointed. When a king is appointed, he's anointed with Shemen HaMishcha. Kohen Gadol also was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha. But even though it may be true they're anointed, we don't always call them by that term, the anointed one. Over here, we refer to Chizkiyahu. Mitzudas, he picks up on this deep why here we refer more so than others to Chizkiyahu with the term Meshichecha to indicate that Chizkiyahu was meant to be the Melech HaMashiach. Why did? Because in his day, Sancheiriv was like Goyg u'Magog. They came to attack Yerushalayim. It wasn't only Sancheiriv. Sancheiriv, he hired the best mercenaries in the entire world to participate in this battle, to attack Yerushalayim, and he was unsuccessful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the Klal Yisrael miracles that were like the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, where miraculously this entire army died outside of the city, and it should have been a catalyst to bring Mashiach. The miracle was so awesome, was so great. The inspiration that the people took out of this event was beyond belief. It should have led into the coming of Mashiach, where Chizkiyahu would have been the Melech HaMashiach. And I guess everyone up until that point in time, I guess some Hevel's army would have been considered to be Goig Umog. Okay, it did not happen. Okay, it did not happen. And because it did not happen, there was a very big fear. On Kalyan, why did we allow it to happen? That's but over here you see this stuff to he's taking the word Meshichach and using it in reference to Melech HaMashiach. Okay, the next words in the midst of the stuff on the next page, Machatzta Roish, you crushed heads, Oz Machatzta, then you crushed Veritzatzta, Kol Roish Mibes Rasha. You have crushed the heads of everyone from the whole Kol Roish Mibes Rasha, return of Leimar. Harakta kol anshe sancheiriv al yidei hamalach hamakim b'hem. That was great. Whoever is making noise in the back, please don't have access to the
I make it mute.
Mr. Lederfield, can you put on mute? Mr. Lederfriend, Right, okay, good, okay. Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. I just don't have a...
I really don't. I ordered something new device that I should be able to have a better connection, internet connection, to make it better. But until it comes, it'll take a few days until it will come. And after this, bear with me. Bear with me until we get this to work. Location. It's very poor internet here. Okay, so we have over here the story of Sancheirif. Next words of the Mitzvah, the words are Oros Yisoid Gilisa Es HaYisoid LaHitzim U'Mekoymoy V'Ad HaTzavar. You have exposed the foundation to bring forth from the neck the Ad HaTzavar Gilisoid, which is Lemar Ad Ikar HaChizek Shehu HaTzavar Shehachayus Poyle Boy. Kilomar Hevadato Kol Machane V'Ad Olam Selah Ki Olo Yosifu Lokom. The defeat of Sancheirif was thorough, was 100% thorough, to the point where they will never ever rise. They will never ever rise. Okay, this was the destruction of Sancheirif. Okay, let's go. Okay, so. Let's now again, why does it say the word tzavar, the neck? The neck refers to the part of the body where the life is found. The chiyus is present. What's the proof? Shchita. Why is it that when we do shchita on an animal, we do shchita from the neck? It's because the neck is the part of the animal, part of the body from where the life is found. And here we are describing the defeat of Sancheirif and his army was so thorough, their life has been taken, and we have nothing to fear. There is no fear that Sancheirif will ever rise again and cause harm to Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's take a look now at Rashi. Rashi on these two psukim, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Bizam titzad oretz, bizam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu step on the earth, legori shiv umois, to drive out the seven nations. So Rashi is going over there referring to coming into Eretz Yisrael. Liyesh es mishmichecha shohu v'david. Ke orois yisoy, the next Rashi, choymois oireihem, the walls of their enemies, atzavar hu goiva hachoyma v'hamigolim, the height of the wall and the tower. So just look at the major difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos David. Whereas Mitzudos David learns that these two psukim are describing events that took place much later in the history of Klal Yisrael, long after they had a Beis HaMikdash. We're going here according to the Mitzudos David. We're fast forwarding hundreds of years. Okay, Akaius is the favorite person who has the telephone number. Telephone number that ends. Okay, press *6. If you're on the telephone, okay, it's good now because there was some background noise. According to the Mitzvah David, he's telling us that this event is taking place 500 years. Later than when Rashi learns, we're describing the moment when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, and all of the words of the pasuk have to thus be translated differently according to Rashi. When it says Mishitecha refers to David, and Shaul. When it says in the pasuk the Migdol, the Tzavah refers to the tower, the massive walls and the towers. So we have over here different translations. We're having a lot of feedback. Mr. Wilbur, Dennis, are you here?
Yeah.
You put on mute. It's not your fault. It's just
okay. I'm having trouble. Could you mute me, please?
I can't. That's the problem. That's the problem today. Today I can't mute you. I don't have access to the system.
Okay. Let me try it again. Okay.
I'm a guest, just like everyone else here.
Okay, let me try it again.
Okay. I'm sorry for the trouble.
It's okay, thank you. It's okay.
Okay, so this is the Rashna. Let's take a look at the Radak. The Radak, the Pasuk Yudbeis and Yudgimel. I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to put the Radak on the screen because I don't have. Let me see if I can put it on the screen. I'll try. Let's see what happens. We'll try. No, it's been disabled. All right, this is really no good. This is really not fun to have to suffer like this. It's gotta be a better way. One second. It's gotta be a better way to get this to work. Let's see what we can do here. Let's see. Bear with me for one moment, please. I think you may get this to work. Please bear with me for one moment. So God, okay, we're gonna get this to work now. It's gonna work now.
It says here, Bezum Titzad Aretz.
Yeah.
Let me get into it.
All right. One more moment. All right, I think we're now back in business. Okay. All right. Can you hear me well now? Mr. Callis, can you hear me well? Mr. Plotnik?
Yes, yes.
Yes, we hear you.
Yes, we hear you.
I'm sorry for all the trouble. Let's not get back to business.
Yes, I hear you.
To business. I apologize for all the trouble. Let's get back to business. Let's up now to the Radak. The Radak, up Pasik Yud Beis and Pasik Yud Gimel. The Radak says as follows. It's on the screen. The words of the Radak are Bizam titzad aretz. Bizamcha al shiva goyim tzadata alehem ba'artzam v'chofa alehim b'mila shaynes v'omar ba'av todush goyim. Okay, two different expressions. According to the Radak is telling us the same exact thing as the Mitzudas David, that the context of this pasuk is the conquest the Radak is telling us that the context of this pasuk is exactly like Rashi. We are describing the kibush aretz. Klal Yisrael is entering into the land for the very first time, and they're going to conquer now the seven nations of Canaan. And the expressions that are being used over here are in reference to destroying these nations. We have two words, Zam and Af. Zam is connected with the word Titzad. The word Titzad ordinarily means to step. You walk, when you take strides, they're called strides. The word Todush means to thresh. Threshing is a much more violent term. When you have grain and you want to separate the kernel from the chaff, you have the animal step on the grain. Stepping on the grain is a violent act of destruction in order to crush the two together. Both of these terms are being used to describe our entry into Eretz Yisrael. We stepped upon the land. We took strides upon the land to acquire it. And we also trampled upon our enemy. The Zam and the Af refers to our enemies, the Goyim who were living in Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yotzasa L'Yesha Amecha, Hashem, you went forth to save your nation, L'Yesha Es Meshichecha, Kimo, over here in the parentheses, it says, Kimo She'yotzasa L'Yesha Amecha B'konsam L'Oret Shiva Goyim, Kein Teitze L'Osa L'Yesha Es Amcha, so too you will do so in the future. According to the Mitzvot of the Radak is in this book over here, but your Pasuk Gimel is referring to the times of Mashiach. In the times of Mashiach, we're making a comparison. Just like in the past when we came into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem has done for us miracles. He gave us the power to conquer the land. Likewise, in the end of days, when we will once again possess Eretz Yisrael and be free from our enemies, Hashem will give us supernatural powers, super powers above the laws of nature in order to conquer them. Umash Omar, this that it says over here, Yotzos Mochatzta, Mekafta, and that's going back even further, Pasuk Yudalid, Ovar Bimokoim Osid, the Radak is coming to ask a question on himself. If I am suggesting that Pasuk Yud Gimel is a reference to the times of Mashiach, why then is it written Beloshon Ovar? It should be written Beloshon Osid. So the Rabbim Kimohem, it's not a question, because that is the way of the Divrei HaNevua Yavoi Zeh Beroiv. That's exactly the point. When it comes to words of prophecy, the words of prophecy are often written in the past tense. This is a review of a principle that we've had many, many times, that the word by a prophecy, by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no difference between the past, the present, and the future. This principle that time is linear, there's a chilik, the past, the present, the future, is the most davar gashmi in this world. If you want to find something in this world that you can say has absolutely no connection to the next world, it is the most mundane, the most physical, it's time. Even though that would appear to be incorrect, because time is something which is not tangible. You can't put your finger on it. That's the irony. That exactly is the irony. The thing that in this world that is the most gashmi is something which appears to be the most spiritual. Time is something which you cannot put your finger on. And yet, time is called a davar gashmi. There is the past, the present, the future, and the olam ha'emes. It is all the same. By Kadosh Baruch Hu, hoya hoive v'yiyeh, the shame of Hashem's name, yud kei vav kei, is a composite of three words: hoya, hove, v'yiyeh, the past, the present, the future. Therefore, when Hashem gives forth words of prophecy, it is not uncommon for Hashem to speak about the event in the past tense, even though it has not yet happened from our perspective, because from Hashem's perspective, it has already happened. Ki hanavuah, af al pi shehi asida, harehi ki ilu niskaima, lefichach, therefore, yizrachu bo b'loshon ovar, that is why the pasuk often mentions it in the past tense, period. Mishichecha hu Mashiach ben David. This refers to Yimos HaMashiach, Mashiach ben David. Next words of the Radak, Mochatz, the Rosh, Mibes, Rosha, Oz, Timchatz, then you will crush, you will smash the head, Mechel HaRosha, from the army, the evil army. Who is the evil army that we are referring to according to Radak? Goig, Arois. The word Arois means to expose. Mokar, this is a root word. Kiloimar, Tegale, Atzavaram, Kiloimar, Timchatz, Resham, you will cut off their head. Decapitation. V'hu melech magog v'chein tigale yisoidam, you will reveal yisoidam at savaram. What does that mean? You will reveal their foundation until their neck. V'heim sori ha-chayil v'ha-malochim ha-sha'ito. It means, the yisoidam over here means not just goig, you will decapitate his support team. Orois in gilui, exposure v'chein oru ad ha-yisoidba. Our enemies, they would say, may the foundation be exposed. V'ha-tzavar hu karv l'roish, v'yisoid hu ikar ha-binyan. The Yisod is the foundation. The Kiyumo Lefecha Hu Moshel Al Gidolei HaMachne. That's why we use the metaphor to refer to the people of the Machne. But you don't have. I apologize. I didn't go. I just read for you on the next page, which I did not put up on the screen. Okay.
Yeah. Is the By the way.
Yeah.
We have similar expression in Av HaRachamim with a Mochatz Rosh Al Eretz Rabbah.
Mochatz Rosh, excellent. Mochatz Rosh, you smash the head. Al Eretz Rabbah. Eretz Rabbah refers to Eretz Yisrael. Al relating to what they've done to us in our holy land. So
leader of the mighty land.
Let's see the Radak, then the Malbim. And after the Malbim, we'll recap all the different Perushim that come together here in this Pasuk. I'm putting up on the screen now the Malbim. Okay, here's the Malbim. Let's see the Malbim. Pasuk Yud Gimel says Yotzasa. Ze Yihyeh Be'ez HaGeula. The Malbim is learning. Oh, we have to do Pasuk Yud Beis first. Pasuk Yud Beis. Bezam Titzat Aretz Ki Bitzad Ze Lo Tirkav Yeshua Al Rechev Hashem Lo Shia Rak Hashem Bi Atzma Yitzad Eretz. Radak here is saying is that we had the previous Pasuk in the beginning of the parak. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he came with this chariot, and the chariot was covering ground. In that instance, Hashem is not personally, in the previous psukim, where Hashem is going on his chariot, he's not personally stepping upon the earth. It's the wheels of the chariot, or Hashem's chariot's wheels are malachim. They are the ones that are making contact with the ground. Here, the Pasuk shifts. The Pasuk now switches to Hashem himself gets out of the chariot and he puts his foot down on the earth. This is very, very beautiful. The Malbim over here is picking up on something which I think most of us would certainly miss. We think of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, you know, he's walking, he's running, he's stepping. Look at the contrast. When this parak began, we described in Pasuk, not in the parak began, but in Pasuk Ches, when we learned Havin Harim Chara Hashem Im Banahodim Apecha Im Bayam Evrasecha, back in Pasuk Ches, when we began to describe the three different waters which appeared to be doing something unusual, and we had different interpretations as to what these waters refer to, referring to the Yarden, referring to Kriya Sayam, referring to Nachal Arnon, and then we said these waters are not. They're not misbehaving. They're not doing things which are abnormal. the reason why they are behaving in such a fashion is because Hashem has arrived. How has Hashem appeared? Ki sirkav al susecha markivosecha Yeshua. Hashem has appeared on his horse. Kaviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a sus. Hashem has a merkava, a chariot. Now, if Hashem has a horse, Hashem was a Gibor Muhammad, he appears on a horse. Hashem appears in a chariot. Hashem is still inside. He is not stepping on the earth. He is raised above the earth. And then we went through all of these psukim where Hashem's the bow and arrow, the mountains, they see Hashem and they're terrified, v'chulu v'chulu. And now it's beautiful. We're in Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says that Hashem now, he steps off the chariot. Hashem comes down from the horse, from the chariot, and he actually rests his foot upon the earth. And he walks. And after Hashem takes a couple of steps, Hashem then begins to crush. He begins to trample. He begins to press hard upon the ground. So we're going here through stages. First, Hashem is in Shemayim. Hashem descends. After, when he descends in a vehicle. After the vehicle arrives at its location, then Hashem emerges from this vehicle. And he steps, he walks on the ground. And then Hashem begins to trample, begins to crush and to press down on the ground. This is the point that the Malbim is coming to make here with these words. Back in Pasuk Gimel on the screen, the Malbim says, Yotzasa, Yotzasa, Zeyeh Be'ez HaGula. This will happen in the time of the Geula. Be'ez sheyotzasa, when you, Hashem, will come forward, liyesha es amecha, to save your people, liyesha es mishichecha, and to save your anointed one, ki os yigale melech ha-mashiach, v'ilachem melchamos Hashem, v'Hashem yoshi'ehu, the melech ha-mashiach will fight the battles of Hashem, and Hashem will save him, v'yoz, and then, mochatz the roish mi-beis rasha, imrak timchatz roish shel ha-rasha, v'machat katan, if you only crush, if you only shatter the head of the evil man with a machatz katon, a machatz means a sledgehammer, a small sledgehammer, a rois yisoid ad hatzavar. Hamachat hakaton hazet orer, it will awaken, usse shoresh, it will uproot, es yisoid shall give yoso, the foundation of his body, shehu ha-gulgoyles, which is the skull, the hamoyach and the brain, ad hatzavar sela. Beze nishlam hachelik hasheni shel hatefilah. This is the second part of the tefilah. The next part is going to be a new section. But what is he saying? What is he saying over here? What is the Malm saying? Even though Hashem will use a small sledgehammer, where does the Malbim get that the sledgehammer is small? Where does he get that? Mochatzta roish mibeis rasha. Although Hashem will smash the head from the home of the rasha with a small hammer, it doesn't matter. It will completely paralyze him. A roish, he will be exposed. A roish, his entire gilgoyles, his brain, his skull, will be exposed. Yesoid, his foundation, his head, his gulgoyles, at savar and down to the next cella, eternally he will be completely obliterated and eliminated from the face of the earth. All right, so basically, what do we have over here? We have over here,
according to Collins Dictionary, if you say that something will be wiped off the face of the earth or disappear from the face of the earth, I said
the word okay.
Every living thing will be wiped off the face of the earth.
You hear what goes on over here? I go and I say the word okay, and Google right away chimes in, and Google wants to give the share. Google wants to compete with me here. I have to watch what I say. If I say the wrong word, you trigger Google's ear. All right, bottom line is, we learned today so far two psukim, and we have here a very great disagreement between the Mitzudois, Rashi, and Radak and Malbum together. The difference between the three is as follows, to summarize. According to the Mitzudois, the context of Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel is the conquest of the Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu. We're dealing during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was built 440 years after Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. And things were pretty good from that moment on until the time of Chizkiyahu. Well, I shouldn't say until the time of Chizkiyahu, because there was the split of the Malchus and there were civil wars and there were a lot of problems, but it got really, really bad after the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim, and the only one that was left was Yehuda and Binyamin, and Sancheriv besieged Yerushalayim, and there was a real danger that Klal Yisrael will be destroyed, and Hashem miraculously saved Chizkiyahu and those living in Yerushalayim, and that's what these two psukim are describing. We are describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming at this moment in time to save Chizkiyahu. Bezam titzad oretz, with anger will Hashem step down upon the earth. Be'af, with fury, todush goyim. The goyim here refers to the army of Sancheriv. He came with mercenaries, with at least 800,000 people. They were obliterated. Yotzos l'yesh amecha, Hashem, you went forward to save your nation. We know that this event took place on the night of Pesach. V'ahi v'ahi b'chatzi halayla li'yesha es mishichecha, to save Chizkiyahu, the tzaddik who was mechazik Klal Yisrael and taught them to recover from the sins of his father Ochos, who worshipped idols and introduced idolatry into the world. Machatz the rosh mebeis rasha, a repetition. You have destroyed the rosh, going back to the Sancheriv. Arois yisoid atzav rasela. You exposed their foundation, the mercenaries, the army that was the support. The tzavor is the life of the victim, the life of the person that we are describing. You have cut off his life by destroying his army. That was the mitzudos. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says this pasuk refers to the time of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi is taking us back about 550 years, if not 600 years earlier than the time period of the Mitzudos. Rashi learns we are describing our entry into Eretz Yisrael, and we came up against the seven mighty nations of Canaan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the power to overcome these nations, to wipe them out. With Zam and Be'af Todush Goyim. The Goyim here refers to the Goyim, the Zayin Umais. Yotzos Liyesha Anecha, you went out to give salvation to your people. Liyesha Es Meshichecha, who were the people, the kings, that succeeded in ultimately conquering the land? Shaul and then David. The Meshichecha, those are the anointed ones, not Chizkiyahu later on. Shaul and David. Mochatzta Roish Mibes Rosh, Arvos Yisod Al Savat Sela, and you obliterated our enemies. Then we come to the Radak, and the Malbum pretty much is the same thing, that the Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel are not really describing ancient history. It's describing the future, the time of Mashiach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do for us incredible miracles, where he will go forth to save Amecha, your people. He will go forth to save the Meshichecha, the Melech HaMashiach. And he will crush the head of our enemy. And the Tzavar also here means the power, the might, the Golgoilus. These are symbolic terms. And who knows if, according to the parish of the Radak and the Malbum, this event has not yet happened. It's very likely that we will gain new insight as history unfolds as to the deeper meaning of the tzavar in relation to our enemies, specifically Goig Umagoig. Okay, so we have over here a typical classic reading of a pasuk, two psukim in Nevi'im Achronim, where we have three opinions, each opinion is very different than the other in describing the time period, forcing us to decipher the deeper meaning of the words. And the main one of the main words that comes out that really is very vast in different translation is the word Mishichecha. Does the word Mishichecha refer to David v'Shaul? Does it refer to Chizkiyahu? Or does it refer to the Melech HaMashiach? That takes care of this. Now let's take a look at some. Now there is one Maamar Chazal, but it's not really that relevant. I'd rather go on to the next pasuk. Let's move ahead to pasuk Yud Dalet. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Okay, pasuk Yud Dalet. Nokafta v'matov rosh pirozov. Hashem, you have perforated. The word nokafta means a nekev. It means a hole. Hashem, you have taken a stick and you have inserted your mate into an object. Being that the word nokafta is connected to the word matov, it means...
Here it says the translation is pierced.
Pierced, good. That's a good translation. Nokafta v'matov rosh pirozov. You pierced with your staff the head pirozov. The word pirozov in this context means the an open city, a city that has no walls. Let's read further.
Can't hear.
You can't hear?
Can't hear anything.
You cannot hear. One second. What's going on?
You're fine over here. And I hear you loud and clear.
Well, I hear you.
I do hear it.
I hear you very well.
Okay, Mr. Cohen,
this is Cohen.
Yeah. Issue on your end. Okay, the reality here, the word of Roish Pirozov, Yisaru.
Nothing's coming through over here.
Okay, try to reboot. Okay, try to. Everyone else here seems to be.
I don't hear anything. Does anybody else?
We hear you very well. We hear you very well, Rabbi Levine.
We hear maybe go out, come in.
You try to reboot. Try to reboot. Okay, let's go further. We have over here the Roish Nokafta Vimata Rosh Prozov Yisaru Lahafitseni. Yisaru means a storm. Saora. Lahafitseni to disperse me. Ali Tsusam means joy. Kimo Le'echol Oni Bamistar. When an Oni, a poor man, finds food in a hiding place. Let's see the Mitsudo is studied immediately. Pasuk Yudalid, Nokafta v'matov b'mata. Now again, this can get confusing because each one of the Mefarshim will learn that this pasuk is a continuation of the previous psukim according to their understanding. Therefore, being that according to the Mitsudo studied, the previous psukim were describing Chizkiyahu, the miraculous salvation that his generation experienced. He continues, Nokafta v'mata, v'mata shel Sancheirif, shebo lirdois boy, Nokafta kol roish anoshov hayoshrim bi'ori ha-pirozi. Let's read one more line. Ki l'goydel ribu yom, ki ilu lo yichileim makoy mukov koyma. Due to the enormous number of people that accompanied Sancheirif, if it was impossible to set up a shelter, or it's on the loymar wall, or it's on the loymar, this means to say, kifima shechoshav la'asos li Yisrael naseboy, what he wanted to do to the Klal Yisrael, the ayim his entry into Yerushalayim la'abed es anoshech ha'isal l'rasay kisham nofal, that's where he was destroyed, ki'ilu nokav roish b'mateyu, ki nokav he pierced Roisham, his own people's head with his own staff. So let's explain. According to the Mitzvah Savit, this pasuk here is saying that his army died from friendly fire. Now, that's not accurate description, but in a certain way, that's really what Rash, the Mitzudas Tov, is explaining. He came with his mate, his staff, to do harm, to kill, to murder, to pierce the Jewish people. When it was all over, what really happened was that his own weapons were used against his own soldiers. His own spears ended up piercing and murdering his very own people, his own army, which came to assist in destroying Klal Yisrael. So the pasuk here is speaking, is addressing Sancheriv. You, Sancheriv, it was you. You were Nokafta. You pierced the Matov with your own staff, Rosh, the heads, Pirazov, of your own people. The reason why we're calling your people, your army, with this term Pirazov, the word Pirazov ordinarily means an open city. You have a city of millions of people, and they do not have a wall. The army who came to encamp and lay siege against Yerushalayim did not have a wall. They just camped out in the middle of the fields waiting for the moment when they will attack. So that is why we describe your army with the term Pirazov. Nakafta, you, Sancheriv, are guilty that you have brought about the death of your own soldiers. And indeed, Chazal tell us that he was very, very frightened, Sancheriv, as to what happened, because the people that accompanied him were the finest and the best of the nations of the world. Sancheriv was a very powerful, charismatic leader, and everyone wanted to associate with him. We have today a principle. Someone once explained this to me. I never really appreciated this. Very, very successful. Who are wealthy people? And just because they're successful, they're not necessarily smart. Some of them are very foolish. They're coarse. They're not dignified people, but they're very rich. They're very, very rich. And no one really understands why Hashem gave this person money. There are many people who do exactly what he does, and they're not successful. Why did this particular individual merit to achieve success more so than anyone else? It's a mystery. Mazel, Tzuchusim, B'chavshei D'rachman Olam Olach. These are Hashem's mysteries. But the bottom line is, this individual is very successful. And you know what happens when that, that happens? Other people want to hang out with this fellow. They love to associate with him. They love to come visit him on Shabbos. They want to sit next to him in shul. They want to go on vacation with him. They want to go biking with him. And you say to yourself, why do you want to go biking with this guy? He's not such a nice person. He doesn't have good manners. He's not very friendly. Why? Why do you want to go biking with him? And the answer is because he is successful. Hashem has given him hatzlacha. And it is human nature. You want to associate, hang out with people who are successful, even though you personally don't believe in that. You don't hold from this person. This person is not your hashkafa in life, does not carry the hashkafa. His way of life is not your way of life. His midos, his anhogos, the things that he does, he's not your type, period. But it's human nature to attach yourself to people who are successful. Sancheriv was successful. And in ancient times, everyone wanted to associate with successful people. And how did they do this? They sent their children, their best children, who were soldiers and were talented. They said, go work for Sanherif. Go work for him. Tell me, if you go back in the early 90s, wouldn't you want to work for Google? Wouldn't you want to go work for Google? You people will line up around the country, do anything to get into Google in the early days in order to get stock options. And today they would have no diagus. They would be billionaires today. Tell me, do you really like Larry Page? Is he really your type of guy? Okay, owner of Facebook, or what's his name? Whatever these people's names are. You go and you study them, their personality. Do you really like Bill Gates? You really get along with him? He's really your type of guy? Do you want to sit in shul at his table? I don't think so. Especially the one who owns Facebook, the one who owns Amazon, all these phenomenally wealthy people. As a person, do you really want to sit in the sukkah with him? You want to share a sukkah? You want to share a driveway with him? You want to be your next door neighbor? I don't think so. Most people in this shir here, I don't think you really personally would give these people a second look. Yet, it is human nature that we do want to associate with these people because they are successful. That's how it was with Sanherib. Sanherib was probably a lowlife, but he was successful. He conquered the entire world. And therefore, all of society wanted to associate with him, and they entrusted their children, their finest young men, with Sanherib. And what happened? Sanherib betrayed them. They were all camping outside Yerushalayim in the middle of the night. And what happened? They all died. Dead. How now will Sanherib be able to come home and look in the face of the parents of these children that died because of him? How will he be able to explain what happened? Impossible. So he knew that he was a dead man. He was a dead man. And it's very interesting that according to the parish of the Mitzvah Stavid, Pasuk Yedalet is coming to put the finger, the blame on, putting the finger and the blame on Sanherib. You, Sanherib, we're putting a finger on you. You are responsible. You bear the guilt of what has happened to all of these young men. The Perazov are the 800,000 elite young men of the world. These were mercenaries collected from all over the world. Every country sent over their finest and their best to be under the authority of Sanherib when they go to war, and this particular war, especially to conquer Yerushalayim. How then can you betray us and return our children in body bags, in coffins? The Pasuk puts the blame. It's like the New York Times, these editorials, they put the blame on them. You, Sanherib, you, Nokavta, Vimatov, you pierced Vimatov with your spears, Pirazov, these young men that stood and camped around your perimeter, around your camp, and therefore you're going to have to bear responsibility and take the blame for what has happened. Next words, Yis'aru lahafitzeni, in the Mitzudas David, Ashabo kiruach saro lahafitzeni. Here the Pasuk will be coming to describe exactly what happened. These people, this army of 800,000 people, they came like a storm to crush me. Ba'arotzois acheros, kichen hoye chevse lo itziya me'artzem, ulezoroysa be'arotzois acheros, kimo shenemar, v'melachem Yishaya. They stormed me. The goal of Sanherib was population relocation. That's what was your goal. Ali tzusam, soif simchas hatzlachasam hoye kumo elu shechashu lechol es Yisrael shahoye meune biyadam asher rotzul chaloisam b'mister hu amidbar. They wanted to destroy them in secret. The secret here is the Misr is the desert. Just like the Egyptians, they attempted to destroy the Jewish people. It was to their detriment. So let's review the words of according to the Misr of David. Ali Tzusam, you the enemy, Sanhev, you wanted to rejoice and plunder and steal from Klal Yisrael, kumo le'echol oni, like the pleasure of a wicked man destroying a poor man by mistar in secret, where no one will stand up for the poor man, and the perpetrator, the ganof, will succeed. The ganof will find a secret place where nobody is watching, and that will give the rasha, the ganof, the opportunity to steal, to plunder, to consume the poor man and get away with it. And no one's going to say, boo, that was your plan. But what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the tables on you. What you wanted to do to us is exactly what happened to you. Now let's see, Rashi, Pasuk Yudalid. Rashi says, Rashi, Pasuk Yudalid. Going back on the previous page, Makafta of the Matav Rosh Sancheriv Visiasoi Shohoyu Sayarim Beruch Saorola Hafitseni. Now this is something very interesting. Rashi, even the Rashi until now taught us that the Psukim before were describing our conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Now Rashi is coming around to agree with the Mitzudais that we're going to fast forward and describe the Melchama of Sancheriv. They were storming, they were acting up with a whirlwind, lahafit seini, to disperse me. This was the technique of Sancheriv to relocate populations. So here, Rashi differs from the Mitzudos and says that Sancheriv was the mate of Hashem, which Hashem ruled the nations. Not necessarily disagree, which he wanted to rule over that. That's really the same idea. Sancheriv was Hashem's tool, was Hashem's instrument in ruling over the world. And you, Hashem, see, Rashi seems to say the word nokavta refers to Hashem. Hashem. You Hashem nokavta. You Hashem pierced Vimatov with his own staff. Rosh Perozov, Roshe Orov Vitiroisov, the heads of his cities and his suburbs. Kumai Perozois Teshem Yerushalayim Ori HaPavrozi. It's the same idea. I guess the camps that were encamping to the soldiers, the armies that were camping out to destroy Klal Yisrael. Alitzu sam hoye kishahoyu yochel lechol. It was their greatest joy when they were able to consume ani b'mistar Yisrael hakuim am ani Klal Yisrael. Rashi here is a little bit of a medrash, and Rashi over here says the word ani refers to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is called an am ani in Tzefania. Okay, they called it an Am Ani. Now let's take a look at the Radak. Okay, let's see the Radak. Pasuk Yudalev, so we'll finish this up. We have over here some very, very nice Midrashim. I want to get to the Midrashim. I'm not going to get to it today, but let's at least get up to it. So tomorrow we can... It's not clear, this picture. Let me do it again.
No, it's not good. It's not good. All right, let's go with this. Nokafta v'matav roish perazav. Okay, you pierced with your mate roish perazav. Kolema b'matav skoigum atzmai tenake roish perazav. The Radak is going l'shitasoi. He understands that this pasuk refers to the Muhammad's goigum magutam the Mashiach. His armies, and he calls them Perazav. It's the same thing we learned before. They do not have a wall that can contain them. Friendly fire. Okay, they're going to die from friendly fire. We have over here an amazing prediction. The Radak, after remember what it says over here, the Radak is telling us that in the Milchemes Goig Umogoig, at the time of Mashiach will come, and there will be this major battle in Yerushalayim, the Milchemes Goig Umagoig. The way our enemies will be defeated will be friendly fire. They will self-destruct. They will destroy themselves. I'm very worried about Iran, Yishno. I'm very worried. I'm not worried about us. I'm worried that there's such shemazels. Their nuclear facilities will malfunction, and the whole Iran will just, they'll nuke themselves by mistake. Don't you ever get that feeling, North Korea and Iran, that they'll just self destruct. They'll press the wrong buttons, and they'll no longer be. That's what it says here in the pasuk. The pasuk over here says that's exactly what's going to happen. It says here in this pasuk that they will do it to themselves. She'ein la'am, Rabbi Bochem, Cherv Ish Tiyeh B'yachif. Okay, the next page. Okay, I'm going to put up on the next page. I just want to finish up this Radak.
Do you think it's referring to cyber warfare?
How do you self-destruct in cyber warfare?
Well, you confuse the communications, the court, and the command and control systems. So they go awry.
Interesting. It's an interesting idea. It does that. But it basically does say very clearly that according to Radak and the Muhammad, the way the enemies will be defeated will be through, they will self-destruct. They will do it to themselves. Let's see, passing Yisaru Lahafitzeni, Oysam Shahoyu Sarim Lahafitzeni, those people that stormed, that made a big commotion in order to disperse me, Kaloima Shayova Buruch Sora Alai Lahafitz Oisibagoyim, our enemies, which have attacked us with violence, Alitzusam Kimol Echol Anibamistar. The word Alitzusam means Visimchasam, their greatest joy is when we suffer. Tia lahafitzeni, their joy is to see us dispersed. Kimo shachaisabim shechoshu lechol ani, who Yisrael kishyotsu b'mitrayim, v'radav acharav paro v'chelu v'choshu lechol b'mistar. Similar to what happened in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, when the Egyptians pursued Klal Yisrael, and they thought they would be able to destroy us and take away everything from us on the Yam. The Yam and the Midbar is a place of hiddenness. No one will see what they will do to us. They will get away with murder. And what happened? They thought that Hashem in the Midbar does not see what happens. They mistakenly thought that the only place where Hashem has power is in Egypt. once they take Hashem's people out into the desert, into the Yam, there Hashem no longer has power, and there they will succeed. Sha'omar, Kemosh Omar, Omar Oyev, our enemy says, Erdoif, I will pursue them out into the desert. Asig, I will overtake them. Achalek Shalol, Ad Shedrachta Ato Bayom Susecha. And what happened? Hashem says, my Shlita is everywhere. Hashem came forth in his chariot into the sea. By Yosar, Hashem removed Es Ofan Mar Kivaisov, the wheels of their chariots. The Yossi Kiru Ki Hashem Nilcham Lochem Ba'avuram, Kamash Amar. Anusa, let us flee, Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. Ki Hashem Nilcham Lochem B'Mitzrayim, Kolamar Hashem Kamash Ahoye Nilcham Ba'avuram B'Mitzrayim. Just like Hashem came to their aid in Egypt, so to Hashem has come, will come to the of the sea. Kei Nilcham Lochem Atab B'Avuram. Ki Atero, Ki Boka Lochem Hayam, Ve'vir Ma'yabasha, Ve'him Lo Yochla Avar, and the Egyptians could not pass. Kamash Amar Ba'ayam, Eis Machnei Mitzrayim. Okay, so that concludes the Malbum. These psukim are very straightforward. Okay, so we did pretty much the three psukim. Tomorrow, Mirchim, we're going to do the Malbum. We're going to do over here with some very beautiful Mori Chazal. We have some very elaborate Mori Chazal winding down to the end of Chavakuk. Chavakuk is soon coming to an end, and then we go to Tzefania. And after Tzefania, we wind down the three last Nevim, which go together, Chagai, Zechariah, Umalochi. These are very interesting. These wind down. It shouldn't take more than a short time to finish up Chavakuk. We'll take now a short break. I want to talk with you today two things. I want to talk today about the sugya of secrets, revealing people's secrets, Gilui Sod, and then at the end I want to discuss the Aseres Hashvatim. Where are the Aseres Hashvatim today? Will they return? I have a very new sefer which has a lot of very interesting information about the Aseres HaShvatim. I'll see you back in 2 minutes.